The following message is from Pastor Peter Cho of Emmanuel Community Church. More information about the ministry of Emmanuel Community Church can be found at emmanuelcommunity.org.
All right, welcome to another deep dive. You're ready to explore something pretty big.
I am. Always up for a challenge. What are we diving into today?
Well, we're going to be looking at the idea of marriage,
okay,
but not just in a surface level kind of way.
I like it already.
We're going to try to uncover the story that God is telling through marriage.
Ooh, that sounds fascinating. Where are we getting all this wisdom from?
We've got excerpts from a sermon series on marriage, and let me tell you, these are not your typical dry sermons.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What makes them so different?
Well, for starters, they go way beyond just the practicalities of marriage and actually connect it to some really big ideas.
Like what?
We're talking about love, faith, even the beauty we find in nature.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, we're going deep. Now, one of the things that struck me right away about these sermons is how they start. Instead of diving right into, like, the do's and don'ts of marriage, they actually start with something we all experience.
What's
that deep desire for love and connect?
You're so right. It's like a universal human experience, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the sermon suggests that this longing isn't just some random feeling.
Hmm.
It actually points us to something much bigger.
What do you mean?
Well, they highlight this core Christian belief that God is love.
Right.
So when we feel that pull towards love, whether it's romantic love or the love between friends or family,
yeah,
that's actually a reflection of our being made in God's image.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's like a little whisper of where we truly belong.
It is. And it really makes you think about how the world often presents such a distorted picture of love, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
We're bombarded with messages about love being all about getting what we want.
About power and control.
Exactly. Like it's some kind of competition.
Right. And it's so far from the truth.
And these sermons actually contrast this with the biblical creation story.
The one in Genesis.
Yep. They highlight how different it is from other ancient creation myths, like the Babylonian one, for example.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, in that myth, the gods are born out of violence, and humans are created basically to serve them.
It's a pretty bleak picture.
It is. And the biblical creation story paints a completely different picture.
So what does the biblical story emphasize?
Well, it's all about relationship.
Okay.
Humans are made in the image of a loving God, reflecting his goodness and creativity.
I like that.
And we're invited into a relationship with him, not forced into servitude.
It's about love and connection, not power and control.
Exactly. And that really sets the stage for how these sermons approach the idea of marriage.
Okay, how so?
They go beyond seeing marriage as just a contract or a legal agreement.
Right.
And they emphasize that it's actually a covenant.
A covenant, huh? That's a pretty weighty word.
It is. And they really unpack what makes a covenant so special.
I'm all ears.
Well, think of it like, remember that movie Up?
Oh, yeah, of course. Who doesn't love Up?
Right. And remember that beautiful montage of Carl and Ellie's life together?
Oh, my gosh, yes. When they make that promise to each other as kids?
Yes. And how even though life throws them all these curveballs, they never waver in their commitment to each other.
That scene gets me every time. Such a powerful picture of love that endures through thick and thin.
It really is. And that's exactly what a covenant is about.
Unwavering faithfulness.
Yes. And love, no matter what challenges life throws your way.
It's like that deep sense of security and belonging that goes beyond fleeting feelings or circumstances.
You got it. And so the sermons connect this idea of a covenant back to marriage, to our relationship with God.
Okay, how so?
They explain that God's covenant with humanity is like that Up montage, but on a cosmic scale.
Wow, okay.
He's promised to be faithful to us, to love us unconditionally, despite our flaws and failings.
So even when we mess up, God's commitment to us doesn't waver.
Nope. It's pretty amazing, right?
It really is.
And it's the same kind of radical, unwavering love that we're called to reflect in our marriages.
That's a high standard.
It is. But it's also incredibly freeing because it's not based on our performance.
Hmm.
It's about choosing to love and be faithful, even when it's hard, even when we don't feel like it.
It's about aligning our hearts with God's heart.
Exactly. And that brings up an interesting question, though.
What's that?
If marriage is meant to be a picture of God's love, this beautiful covenant,
yeah,
how do we explain all the brokenness and conflict we see in so many relationships?
Well, that's where these sermons get even more interesting.
I'm listening.
They start exploring the concept of two becoming one.
Okay.
And how sin has messed up our ability to truly experience that unity.
All right. Two becoming one. What does that actually mean?
Well, to understand that, we need to talk about the mystery of the Trinity.
Ooh, the Trinity. That's a big one.
It is. But stick with me, because it actually sheds incredible light on God's design for marriage.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break it down for me.
All right, so the Trinity is this mind-blowing idea that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God.
Right.
It's like an eternal dance of love and unity within the Godhead.
Okay.
And this gives us a glimpse into why God created humans in the first place.
How so?
Well, didn't create us because he was lonely.
I guess not, since the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are already this perfect community of love.
Exactly. So the sermon suggests that he created male and female, two becoming one, so that we could experience and reflect a taste of that incredible love and unity.
So it's not just about a romantic connection between two people.
No.
It's about mirroring something much bigger.
It's about reflecting God's very nature, his love and unity within himself.
Exactly. And this two becoming one idea also connects to our deep longing for unity with God.
Mm.
Remember we talked about how sin caused separation, not just between us and God, but also between people?
Yeah, it's like that fracture runs through everything.
It does. And deep down, we all crave that unity to be restored.
You're so right. And we see glimpses of that longing in all sorts of places.
Oh, like where?
Think about those moments that just take your breath away.
Yeah.
A stunning sunset.
Yeah.
A mountain vista. The vastness of the ocean, or even a perfectly crafted piece of music or art.
I get it. There's something about those experiences that draws us in.
Exactly. And the sermon suggests that this attraction to beauty and unity is actually a reflection of our deepest longing.
The longing to be one with God.
Yes. To experience that perfect love and connection that was shattered by sin.
That's a powerful thought. So we're made for love, for unity, but sin has created the separation between us and God, between each other.
Yeah, it's a painful reality.
It feels like a pretty bleak situation. Is there any hope for us to actually experience that two becoming one reality in a real and lasting way?
That is the question, isn't it?
It feels kind of hopeless.
Well, that's where the good news comes in.
Oh, I like good news.
The sermons remind us that Jesus, he's the bridge.
What do you mean?
He tears down that wall that separates us from God and from each other.
Through his death and resurrection.
Exactly. It's all about that crazy love he showed us. He offers us forgiveness, reconciliation.
So we can be one again.
With him and with each other. It's amazing.
So Jesus is like the great unifier.
The best there is. He brings heaven and earth together, God and humanity, all through his love.
And the sermons point out, that's not just about our relationship with God. It changes everything.
Yeah. All our relationships. Including marriage.
Right. Like, they point to how Jesus washed his disciples' feet.
Such a powerful picture.
It's like he's turning everything upside down.
Totally. He's showing us what real leadership looks like. It's not about power or control.
It's about serving others.
Putting their needs first.
And the sermons challenge us to do the same.
In our marriages, in all our relationships.
So selflessness and sacrifice.
That's the heart of Jesus. And, you know, the sermons are clear. This whole mutual submission thing.
Yeah.
It's not just for marriage.
It's for all relationships.
All healthy relationships, parents, kids, bosses, employees, friends.
It's about choosing to serve each other.
In every situation. And that's not a burden, it's a privilege.
To show people what real love looks like.
Exactly. A little taste of heaven right here on earth.
Wow. We can't talk about love and marriage without addressing a topic that's often considered taboo.
You're talking about sex?
I am. And the sermons don't shy away from it. They acknowledge the power and the complexity of sex and how our culture so often distorts its meaning.
Right. And how it's often used in ways that are harmful.
Exactly. So let's dive in. What's the biblical perspective on sex? Where do we even begin?
Well, these sermons take us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Specifically that phrase, nakedness without shame, from Genesis 2.
That's an interesting starting point. What's the significance of that phrase?
Well, it points to the vulnerability and trust that existed between Adam and Eve before sin entered the picture. No fear, no need to hide, just pure, uninhibited love.
A picture of perfect intimacy and oneness.
Right. But then sin comes in and changes everything.
Brings shame and fear and a distortion of God's beautiful design.
Suddenly nakedness becomes something to hide, something to be ashamed of.
And that shame has impacted, like, everything. How we view our bodies, how we view each other, how we approach relationships. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's created so much brokenness.
It really has. But the good news is that Jesus came to restore all of creation, including our sexuality. He offers us redemption and freedom from those feelings of shame.
He meets us in our brokenness and offers us a path to wholeness.
And the way he interacted with people, like that woman at the well or the woman caught in adultery, he didn't condemn them, you know?
He offered them grace and forgiveness, a new start.
It's amazing. And then the sermons highlight this ultimate act of redemption. Jesus willingly enduring the shame of crucifixion, naked on the cross. It's a profound picture of sacrifice.
Love conquering shame.
Exactly. Okay, so we've established that sin distorted our view of sex, but Jesus offers redemption. So let's get back to the original design. What was sex created for? What was God's intention?
Well, the sermons delve into this Hebrew word, yada. It's often translated as to know, and it's used in the Bible to describe both sexual intimacy and the deep personal knowledge God has of us.
Wow, okay. So it's suggesting that sex within marriage is meant to be more than just a physical act.
It's about knowing and being known by another person.
Fully seen and loved, unconditionally. Like in Psalm 139, where David talks about God knowing him intimately, even before he speaks a word, there's this beautiful sense of intimacy there.
Yes. And that's a glimpse of what sex within marriage was designed to be. A reflection of God's desire for us to know him fully and to be fully known by him.
Okay, that's a beautiful picture of intimacy. But then we look at our culture and it feels like we're miles away from that.
It's true. The sermons acknowledge how distorted views of sex are everywhere.
Yeah, like it's often about pursuing pleasure, power, or control rather than genuine intimacy and connection. It's like watching one of those reality dating shows with all that manufactured drama. The competition for someone's attention.
It feels so far removed from what we've been talking about.
Right. It's like a completely different world.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to view sex through the lens of God's design. Within the covenant of marriage, it's a sacred act that reflects the unity and the self-giving love of Christ and the church.
It's a completely different perspective.
It really is.
It's about vulnerability, deep connection, and going beyond just the physical act.
It's so different from that hookup culture or the pressure to perform that we see all around us.
It is. Reclaiming God's design and rediscovering the beauty of sex within a committed, loving marriage is so important.
It is. So we've talked about how sin distorted sex, how Jesus redeems us, and that original design for intimacy.
So are you ready to hear about what happened when we get to heaven?
I am ready.
Ready for the final part of our journey.
I am. I feel like we've been on quite an adventure, you know?
We have, exploring this whole idea of God's love story.
Told through marriage. And how it points to something even bigger.
The new creation. Heaven and earth. Finally united.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the takeaway is this. Marriage, the way God intended it, it's this powerful picture of his love.
His desire for us to be one with him.
And with each other. But it's not a fairy tale, is it?
Nope. It's real life.
It takes work, sacrifice.
And a willingness to follow Jesus' example.
But it's a journey worth taking.
Absolutely.
It leads us to the fulfillment of our deepest longings for love, belonging, unity with God.
And one day, we'll experience that fully in God's presence. But until then,
we can keep practicing.
Keep seeking truth.
Keep diving deep.
And letting God's love story unfold in our lives.